This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, 92.5, it's The Bullpen with the producers here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Myself, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes from The Paul Gallant Show, our man Josh behind the glass, and Houston Cougars right tackle Ruben Unije with us here for another segment. Guys, we spent obviously a lot of time talking about the Texans the last few segments. Still a little more meat on that bone before we move on to something that could affect the Texans inside their division. We talked about Laremy Tunsil, Brandon Cook, some of the free agency moves that they've made. And my first question to you, and I'll start with you, Sean. We went over the list last segment of all the names that they've signed. Is there someone on this list that stands out to you as like your favorite addition for the Texans in free agency this year?
I'd say Jimmy Ward, probably.
I think he's the biggest name,
yeah,
right?
I'm not exactly reinventing the wheel here. Sure. But yeah, having someone who is familiar with D'Amico's system and coming in and being able to be a veteran presence in that back defensive backfield.
Especially since they spent picks on, obviously, high on Stingley and Jalen Petre.
It is a version of what we're talking about with Case Keenum and Robert Woods, sure, as far as having a veteran presence to help along the young guys. These guys have just already been drafted between Stingley and Petre, and having that presence back there. It's perfectly fine money. They didn't spend any crazy money on any of these guys. I think Jimmy Ward's my favorite.
You got a favorite one, Ruben?
Case Keenum's my favorite, kind of for the same reason you said. Mm-hmm. You know, veteran presence can help mentor a young guy,
You say Case Keenum. I mean, you're wearing the Cougars colors here. I feel like that's a little biased here.
I mean,
you have a favorite non-Coug?
All right, non-Coug, I'll probably say Shaq Mason.
Shaq Mason.
That's another good one.
That's a really good for the O-line. Hope hold it
down. And it cost them practically nothing. Exactly. They traded away a sixth.
Got back
Shaq Mason plus a seventh.
Yeah, so they traded down.
Basically just that's a deal.
They just moved down their sixth-round pick to a seventh and got back a starting guard. I mean, and obviously they had some problems at guard last year. Hopefully Kenyon Green obviously develops. They spent the first pick they got from the Cleveland Browns in the Deshaun Watson trade was obviously spent on Kenyon Green. Looked great in run blocking last year. Had some questionable moments in pass blocking. Did you get to watch Kenyon Green much, Ruben? Do you have any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I watched him a little bit. You know, I'm more so watching Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard, you know, as I'm a tackle. But with Kenyon Green, you know, I really like his, like you said, his run blocking. Like in run blocking,
he's physical in the run game. Does he have the technique in the pass block?
His fits are good. And pass block, it's not, he has the technique, but it's deeper than that. It's like having experience, you know, maybe film watching. You know, you don't know what it may be because he's big enough, quick feet enough, his hands are good, you know, his technique placement and all that's good, but it's just like you're in the league going against these guys who've been here for 3+ years, 4+ years, whatever. Yeah. You know, and he's coming out of college. He's
going against beasts like Chris Jones up the middle.
He's a grade younger than me, so like it's tough, but he's gonna get it. How Terrence Steele got it for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's more of a learning curve.
Yeah, it's just a learning curve, just getting, you know.
That's fair.
Like, you're in the league now.
I think some of the conversations we had of like with quarterbacks is sometimes, especially in regards to Anthony Richardson, it's like, can you develop accuracy? Because everyone points to Josh Allen. Like, he developed accuracy that he didn't have in college. So you feel like being a run blocker but maybe lagging on the pass blocking skills, something that he can develop, that's not something that's always going to lag behind?
100%. Because as an O-lineman, you know, myself, like, run blocking is the easiest thing to do as an old lineman because, like, you're already big and you're going forward. You know what I'm saying?
You're getting to be the bully.
And not even that. You get to dictate, like, where you take this guy because you know where the ball is being ran. Pass blocking is way more reacting. You have to react to the defensive lineman where he may go, oh, the quarterback may scramble your way. There's a lot more nuances to pass pro than run blocking.
A lot more to develop. Yeah. I got that. Makes sense. I think if I was going to point out a favorite free agency signing, obviously we're talking about older players, but I liked the Sheldon Rankings signing a lot because the Texans were brutal in run defense.
Underrated.
Yeah. I think Rankings is always, like you said, I think he's always been an underrated player. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but the Texans were so bad against the run last year. That it almost doesn't matter how much he has left in the tank.
They need whatever he's got.
Whatever he's got left in the tank is more than who they had. So I can't watch another Texans game where they're giving up. it was almost like that list that the Rockets had of all the players they allowed 40 points to. The Texans kind of had that list for all the running backs gashing
them
week
after week.
David
Montgomery just got paid off of his Texans
game. Exactly.
That's
just
insane.
That's insane. Go ahead, Sean.
Derrick Henry. What was the Derrick Henry stat?
Oh, he had three straight or four straight games of over 200 yards.
Yeah, and it's like those are all the 200-yard rushing games in the last 3 years.
It was all
– Every time Derrick Henry plays the Texans.
Yeah, it was
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. This is a simulation.
There are a few things that just kind of take me out of watching a football game than watching your team give up 10-yard runs up the gut over and over and over again. It's just like a helpless feeling. So I hope – the between Sheldon Rankins and Hassan Ridgeway and Chase Winovich, hopefully that could get solved a little bit. My next question to you with the Texans free agency, and Sean, you mentioned the guy that I was going to name here with Jacoby Myers. Is there anybody that signed somewhere else that you'd wish the Texans had been willing to pay and bring here to Houston?
Yeah, Jacoby Myers is awesome.
Is it Jacoby for you as well?
Yeah, just because he's really what you need in that he – It's just such a solid player. Solid.
It didn't cost much.
Yeah,
3 years, 33. That's not that bad.
We saw him produce as the main option in New England and produce very well. And now, this is moving away from the Texans, but him in Las Vegas with Davante Adams on the other side.
That's a pretty good one too.
That's going to be crazy. Hopefully, Jimmy G can hit him. But I think Jacoby Myers is going to be really good this year.
Anybody on your list here really
got
one. Think they missed out on?
Y'all ready?
Sure.
Y'all ready for it?
I'm ready.
You going to hit me with another Cougar? You can't say Case Keenum again. They got him.
Here we go. Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would have turned it from a C-plus grade for me to a B-plus grade.
Now, you would do that even with Damian Pierce here?
Bro, if you have Miles Sanders and Damian Pierce, it's like, you can't lose because running backs, you have a long season. What if Damian gets hurt?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You can
60-40 those guys, too.
About to say that. You split the reps between them, keep them both healthy. Teams don't know who to prepare against. You know what I'm saying? They both do different things that complement each other very well.
And Pierce, obviously, at Florida was not a guy that was getting, 250 carry workloads every year. So he's not someone that's been used to – that type of workload obviously broke down towards the end of the season. So you're going to have to split carries with him.
I'm pretty sure he had as many carries this season as he did
in all time as
all this time in Florida.
I was shocked, man.
That's insane.
He did not have that. He
was
Dan
not
Mullen buried him.
Yeah. He was not the
it's a simulation.
He was not the their premier back. He was not their main guy. So, yeah, I think those – I love that signing. And we might get into more of this later. Miles Sanders was one of my winners for free agency. I thought that 100%. Was a great signing. I mean, we saw last year with Sean, our guy, Deontay Foreman, hook of horns. Yeah. We're really going to have to go there and get Ruben, or we get a derailed segment with you. You're taunting me, Ruben.
Yeah. You're taunting me.
Someone throw a 15-yard flag. This man is taunting me. But we saw. I mean, obviously, the Panthers did not have a great offense. Their quarterback position was obviously near the bottom of the league. It's why they traded up to number one to take a new quarterback. But despite all that, they had games where their offensive line was – you'll appreciate this, Ruben. Their offensive line was just bullying people. Oh, yeah. I mean, with Chuba Hubbard and Deontay Foreman, they both had games where they were – I think they even had one or two games where they both rushed for over 100 yards in the same game. So I think you take that offensive line with whatever quarterback they take at number one, and now you give them a running game with Miles Sanders, who – I mean, obviously split some carries in Philadelphia, but it looked like a number one running back. I think that's an absolute home run signing by the Panthers.
I 100% agree.
We got a couple minutes here left, so let's get into this. So we're going to skip a few things here from what I had on the Google Doc, but I want to ask you, and Sean, I'll start with you. If you had to compare the Texans' moves in free agency to any brand, it doesn't matter what brand it is, just like clothing brand, whatever, we obviously
know what a brand is.
I don't know why I felt the need to explain what a brand is. Like,
hey, better safe than sorry. Yeah, you never know.
Anyway, but who would you compare the Texans free agent signings to?
I would compare it to the generic cereal that comes in a bag that's at the bottom of the cereal.
Like the 10-pound bag that takes up your entire shopping cart?
It's like, is this dog food or cereal? Oh, it's cereal. Okay,
it's probably commercially graded just above dog food.
That's actually crazy.
It says cinnamon toasters on it, and you know what? I'll take it.
Fruity circles or fruity rings.
Fruity dino bites.
You have pictures of them? I can't
colossal,
see
your
laptop. I wish we could show you all the pictures.
Yeah, very colossal crunch. Yeah, that's Robert Woods, I feel like.
I got to stand up for my guy Robert Woods. That's pretty disrespectful.
I know. That was what? Yeah, but you got Coco Ruse. I think that's what they got because they filled the holes that they had on the roster, but they didn't do it with Cocoa Pebbles. Okay. They didn't do it with
They accomplished the goal of getting rid of their hunger, but yes, they didn't do so with the name brand.
They had a meal.
Yeah.
The food just didn't hit like
edible,
that.
Yeah. But not delicious.
They ate a meal.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, I'll compare it to Puma.
Okay.
Puma. The reason why I say Puma is because, like, I think almost everybody that they signed, not only that they're old, but everybody that they signed at one point had their moment. At one point, I feel like at most from
Puma used to be a big brand.
Bro, what? Puma used to be that thing. Everybody used to rock Puma.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody, like, used to mess with Case Keenum at one point. Everybody used to mess with Robert Woods, yeah. Shaq Mason.
Jimmy Ward.
You know, Jimmy Ward. All these people, you know, used to have Chase Winovich.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Everybody used to, like, mess with them at one point. They just, you know, at some point fell off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? But that's why I compared them to Puma. They still got value. They're not Nike.
They got a name you've heard of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're just not Nike.
But they're not in their heyday.
Yeah, they're not Nike. They're not Adidas. Even New Balance, but they're.
Well, you just said the name I was going
to
use.
I had to.
I know you kind of stole it there, but I'm gonna give the Texans free agency group a New Balance because look, it's not flashy. You know, it's not someone that's going to grab all the headlines. You're not going to get a chick's phone number because you're rocking New Balances walking down the street. But they're smart. They're sensible. They're affordable. They're not going to break the bank. And I think that's what the Texans did here. They got a lot of nice players that'll help. But nobody that crushes their salary cap for the going year.
Their shoes that you would wear.
I got some. Hey, nah, don't say that. I got some crazy New Balances.
Yeah, that is.
My girl would tell you.
You
I got
catch
some
that disrespect, Sean. Just put on hey,
I got some crazy 550s.
He was like, they're dependable. They're comfortable. I could see in his eye. He's like, man, I got to go buy some New Balances.
Confession, I've had pairs of New Balances in my
bro,
closet.
You're good, so, bro. Yeah. I got 3 pairs of New Balances right now.
Okay, good. Rubens.
And I know I got more drip than Sean. Not playing.
B-Mac, how many New Balances do you have?
What's that, Josh?
How many New Balances do you have?
Just one pair. Just one.
See, he need
just
to get one. Mo. You tripping. You need
and
to get
Ruben's
more.
Got 3 times
I have
as many
3
as I do.
New Balances that resell for
Ruben's
a lot of money.
The old guy over here. I'm young and hip, man.
I'm young and hip.
All right. On that note, we got to get out as I try to do hello fellow kids meme here, walking down the hallway with the rock band T-shirt. All right, so ESPN 97.5, 92.5. If you want to get in on the conversation, any thoughts on Laremy Tunsil, on Brandon Cooks, the Texans free agency moves, give us a call 713-780-3776. That's 780-ESPN-HRMP, listener line if you want to join us. Coming up next, we've gone now 5 segments. We haven't talked about March Madness, but we will rectify that next. We'll get into some of the madness with Furman, with Fairleigh Dickinson and all the major upsets, plus thoughts on the Cougars and the Longhorns making the Sweet 16. All that's coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get no when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Cavaliers are playing with Fillers are playing. Four guards, and the four guards out there, along with Cedric, are their best free throw shooters.
Clark in a straight jacket. Oh, he threw it away. Hing, Pagese. Furman leads. Timeout, Virginia.
ESPN 97.5, 92.5. The producers, the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, Houston Cougars right tackle, Ruben Anuje, and our man Josh behind the glass. How have I done on that? Have I blown it any time?
Honestly, you're doing good up until that moment.
Oh, up until that moment. Okay, that's fair.
It's you knee Jay.
Yeah, I'm my bad, man.
You knee Jay.
I just told him that.
I know. He told me when I got him from the elevator, I was like, it was funny. You'll appreciate this, Sean. I was like, so I want to make sure I get this right. And he cut me off. I was like, it's you knee Jay. Like, he already knew.
It'd be great if it was like, it's Ruben.
My whole life is Rue. Ruben is too federal. You got to stop saying that.
So anyway, coming into the segment, you heard the great call by Kevin Harlan on the Furman game winner against Virginia. Just an unbelievable moment to start March Madness this year. One of many great moments. It seems like, is there any weirder thing with March Madness to think about this Virginia team that seems to collapse every single year? Obviously, they lost to a 13 seed this year. They lost to a 13 seed last year, the University of Ohio, and they lost. Obviously, they're their first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed, I believe, in 2018.
2018. And then the next year, yeah, they won the title.
Like they either win the national championship or they lose to a double digit seed. Yeah. It's the one of the weirdest things to try to figure out this Virginia team, and I think it really comes down to, not to get too deep into X's and O's, but Virginia is kind of like the most extreme case of teams that just walk it up and try to play these super, super slow tempos. It almost reminds me of like these old school coaches of football. We talked about Mike McCarthy a couple weeks ago, who seemingly wants to take us back to the 1980s and run the ball. I know you're an offensive lineman. You like running the ball. But he seemingly wants to run the ball like 70% of the time. It's like, same thing here with Tony Bennett and Virginia. It's like, that's not how basketball's played anymore.
Well, and with Virginia, what they do, and it worked so well. I mean, it worked in 2019, not that long ago.
It worked the one time.
What the pack line defense does is that it forces you to shoot over it. And most teams, night to night, just will miss too many shots to make Virginia pay with that. Now, when you go and play in the tournament, most of these 14, 13 seeds that they're losing to, they come from these small bid leagues. All these guys can shoot.
Yeah.
So that
because that's where basketball's moving. And yes. They're kind of, Virginia's kind of stuck in the past.
Yeah, and that's where the kind of matchup, it's a matchup problem with Virginia most years.
Did you watch this game, Ruben?
Yeah, I watched the ending of it. I watched the Zach Wilson shot for the win.
What is the name of the Virginia player?
It was Kihei Clark.
There you go.
Kihei Clark.
Fifth-year senior.
I'm watching this moment happen, and he obviously takes the ball. He's in the corner. He's got, I guess, two guys on him. He's being trapped.
Yeah. And like, they're up one. He can just hold on to the ball and get fouled.
Now, I don't remember how much time was left. I don't know if would the 8 seconds have run out?
It wouldn't have run out, but he could. I mean, they were going to have to foul. The Furman was going to have to foul him at some point.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they had a timeout left. Right, so if he gets in trouble,
he could have done anything but what he did.
I was going to say,
that's all I'm hearing.
There's so many options.
Anything but what
not
he did.
Not dribble to the corner.
And then throw the ball, not even looking.
It is. I think the first person I saw to make this joke was pro football commenter on Twitter, making the Zach Wilson drops back to pass. It's just, I've never seen anything. I mean, I think you said Memphis almost did it a few nights later.
Nowhere near as bad.
I've never seen that. He's trapped in the corner. Two guys are there. And he almost does like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook.
It looked like Carlton Banks.
I got a question for both y'all. Which one is worse? That play by him or J.R. Smith in the NBA Finals? Remember that with the Cavs?
No, I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank. Sean, do you know?
J.R. Smith gets the offensive rebound.
Exactly.
And the game, I think the game's tied.
Yeah.
He thinks they're up, and he just dribbles the clock
out. Six, seven seconds left.
Yeah, I remember that now because I remember the meme of LeBron's reaction.
Like, doing a big LeBron head on the head.
With the receding hairline.
Yeah. Which one is worse? That's tough.
I got to give it to the pass by Miller.
What? Yeah. I'm giving it to the professional basketball player, J.R. Smith.
And just not knowing the time.
In the NBA Finals.
Not knowing the
time. And Miller knew. I mean, he obviously got to know he has a timeout. Plus, he was on the team that won the national championship. This is not a freshman.
You expect way more out of that guy.
This is his last year.
His freshman year on the national championship winning team, he actually made a like insanely great pass in the last couple seconds.
And his career does and exact opposite.
And no one will remember it.
Because they're going to remember this one.
Yep.
Which ties into
society.
And just Virginia basketball. Like, you either are winning the national championship as a freshman, you're making smart plays, And then your senior year, you're making just such an odd. I mean, it looked like Carlton Banks. It looked like it was just so bad.
He was doing whatever.
You hit. I feel like that was targeted towards my my generation.
Oh,
because I grew up on watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Everybody grew up on that.
That was the Nick at Night safety.
When Carlton steals the ball from Will and just heaves it, and they freeze frame him. He's it goes above the basket. It hits like the wall. I appreciate that, Sean. So yeah, Virginia's just one of those teams. Like every year when you're filling out your bracket, I mean, obviously none of it is exact science, but don't predict Virginia to go past like further than they're expected. Always kind of back them back around
the bracket breaker.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but that wasn't the only major upset we had in March Madness, Josh. Josh, let's hear from probably the biggest upset since Virginia lost to University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Do I have that right? So Fairleigh Dickinson beats the number one seed Purdue Boilermakers.
The lob, and that will do it. SDU, believe it, for just the second time ever, a 16 beats a 1.
The call by Andrew Catalan, who I think a lot of people at the station do not appreciate because he calls like every Texans game on the calendar with the FDU believe it call.
Do you believe it?
Well, let's start there. Rate that call, Sean. Where do you rate the final call there with the FDU believe it?
It would have been funnier if he did FDU believe in miracles. And just completely
stole from Al Michaels.
Yeah, if you're going to be shameless like that, just go all the way. But I thought it was. I mean, it's a little bit. I'm generally against.
I don't mind that. Yeah.
Where Jim Nance does it all the time too. Where
Rock Chalk Championship.
Yeah. Like, where, what? You can tell on his notes. There's like a little thing at the bottom that says like, if FDU wins, I'm saying FDU believe it, and then if you know Purdue wins,
no way he's coming up with this on the fly.
Yeah, he.
No shot.
Probably the timeout, like before the end of the buzzer, is like, what am I going to say? Like, Fairleigh Dickinson. Can't really do anything with that. Oh, FDU.
I'm fairly impressed with her. That's not it. No.
FDU, believe it.
I hope on his page there's like a bunch of attempted lines that he's got scratched out.
Bloopers.
I'd love to see the list of what he didn't go with before.
There's a lot of Dickinson jokes that I think he was like, I can't do it on CBS. Yeah.
No. I think Jake Asman made all of them for him the other night on the Wheelhouse. So it's just incredible, the story. Because obviously it's already incredible. It's a 16 beating a 1. But when you read about what FDU went through to get to this point, they didn't even win their conference tournament.
No.
The team that won the conference tournament is ineligible because I believe they're moving up to the next division or something like that. So they got it as basically their runner-up. FDU only won 4 games last year. This was not like some powerhouse that's great every single year. And then you look at someone posted, I think it was David Amendolara, who does a show on one of the other networks. He posted the list of the teams that FDU lost to this year. They lost to colleges including Longwood, Hartford, Queens, Sacred Heart, Stonehill, Wagner, Central Connecticut, St. Francis, and Merrimack.
But then they beat Purdue.
But then they beat the number one Purdue Boilermakers. Crazy.
Yeah. Assimilation.
We just talked about Tony Bennett being a choker other than the 1 year he wins the national title. You look at the list of what Matt Painter, the coach of the Purdue Boilermakers, has lost to. Obviously, he lost to a 16 seed this year. He lost to a 15 seed last year. He lost to a 13 seed the year before, a 12 seed in 2016, an 11 seed in 2011.
Wait, so he's lost to an 11, a 12, a 13,
a 15, and a 16.
So he just needs a 14.
So next year, if they play in a 14 seed, bet against the Purdue Boilermakers. Oh, man,
he's collecting the Infinity Stones of getting upset.
Oh, man. Yes. He's Thanos, you know, flexing the,
I'm all losing. Of this
brought,
All of this brought you back to me. So, obviously, when you're filling out the bracket next year, I mean, I would have said, you know, throw Rick Barnes into the group of people you bet against. But then he goes and beats Duke yesterday. So who knows? But I would definitely keep betting against Purdue and in
Virginia.
Yeah, I forgot the name there. So we got to get here to break. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, the producers, the bullpen with Sean Mapes, myself, Brian McDonald, and our big man here. I'm just Rube. Is that what right, Sean, hey, Sean's getting
this
off?
Is of, Rube.
Sean's getting away with just calling you Rube. So maybe I'm going to take that cheat code there too. So we got a little more on March Madness. I want to talk about the Houston Cougars, the Texas Longhorns. Sorry, Ruben. And we got some fun stuff after that as well with some crazy things Charles Barkley said. So all that's coming up next on the producers, the bullpen from the producers, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, 92.5 is the bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes from the Paul Gallant Show, myself, Brian McDonald. We got Josh behind the glass and our man Rubes. I'm taking the cheat code.
Hey, you don't got to say Unijay no more. Just say Rube.
There you go. Our man Rubes here, the right tackle for your Houston Cougars. So we spent last segment talking about some of the major upsets that happened so far in March Madness, specifically Furman beating Virginia and Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue. But that's not the only thing, obviously, that's important to the city as far as what's happened in March Madness. Rue, the Cougars onto the Sweet 16.
I love it.
They were down, I believe, 10.5 to Auburn, playing Auburn in Alabama. And they have a big second half, I believe, win by 17. Marcus Sasser, obviously, probably the biggest story around the Cougars, other than did they win or not, had a pretty good game. I didn't get a chance to see it here. I was running the Dynamo game, so I was just kind of keeping up through the box score.
Big win for the Dynamo, though.
Big win for the
Cougs. How about them Cougs? How about them Cougs?
So, I assume you guys got to see, obviously, more of the game than I did running the Dynamo game. Cougars moving on to the Sweet 16. How did Marcus Sasser look? Where's your confidence level now? Is it restored to pre-injury levels, or where are you at with the Houston Cougars right now?
I think the time between last night and whenever they play their Sweet 16 game, that is going to be so huge for Marcus Sasser, because you could see he was gutting through it. He was at nowhere near 100%. And I just to get that win, and especially the exclamation point they're able to put on it, like you said, down 10 at halftime, you end up winning the game by, what, 20?
17.
17. Yeah, almost 20. So you absolutely dominate the second half, really kind of get things back on track, get that confidence back, and you get confidence for the other guys that aren't the Marcus Sassers and Jamal Sheds. You get more guys involved, more guys believing.
They didn't look good against the 16 seed on the first game. There was a lot of turnovers in that game.
And you see it a lot with the two times a year that the Cougs lose, is that they always bounce back. Kelvin Sampson always just, I don't know what it is, if he gets it out of them after a loss where they then have their most dominant performance. And that was another version. They did that starting in the second half of this past game.
A little bit of revenge for Kelvin Sampson. I wish I'd had time to pull the audio, but there was a clip of a reporter asking an Auburn player what his thoughts on how Kelvin Sampson coaches the Cougars. And his response was, I don't know who that is. And he goes, oh, that's the... You know, the reporter's like, well, he coaches the Houston Cougars. Like, yeah, I never heard of him.
Disrespect.
Like, bro, come on, man.
Disrespect.
He's one of the best.
Sampson, how long has Kelvin Sampson been in the game? You know who Kelvin Sampson is.
Yeah. That's why they just lost.
Yeah.
The disrespect there. So, Ruben, what's your – I mean, I think I'm asking a question I know the answer to, but what's your confidence in the Cougars going into the next round?
100%.
Okay. My confidence. They win the national title? Where are you at? You 100%. Guaranteeing it like that win over Texas?
I ain't going to say I guarantee it, but it's a 99% chance.
Okay. You know?
He feels
I can guarantee the UT game.
Because you'll be on the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not on the court with my guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not there. Splash. You know, I'm not doing that. Like, you know, hey, Coach Sampson, if you need me, you know, I got you.
You got five fouls sitting right here.
Yeah. Right here. Hey, they're done for the whole season. Let me foul them. It's over. But, you know, I definitely got them winning the whole thing. And, like, shout out to Houston. Beating Auburn in Alabama.
Yeah, it was a road game.
Just how our football team did that two seasons ago in Birmingham, beat Alabama. So, I mean, not Alabama, beat Auburn.
They beat Auburn in the Birmingham Bowl. Exactly. And now, didn't even think of that.
Let's go, Cougs. Let's go, Coop.
So I think what we've learned here is Houston is the owner of Auburn.
They runs the state of
Alabama. Y'all cannot mess with us. What is the SEC?
There you go. Yeah. So another obviously tie to the state of ours, the Texas Longhorns advance to the Sweet 16. Ooh. Sorry, Ruben. For the first time since 2008. I looked it up in the break. I looked it up in the break. Do you know what the top movie was of 2008?
Eagle Eye.
No.
Disturbia.
Just take one guess and I'll tell you. I won't make you guess forever.
Iron Man 1?
Actually, you're close because it is a comic book movie. It was The Dark Knight.
Whoa.
Yes, Heath Ledger.
My God.
Did you know that, Josh?
You knew that?
Oh, Josh knew that.
I should have known it was a superhero movie. I should have known that.
That's why I went with the superhero movie. I just went with the wrong one. Dark Knight's such a great
top song of 2008. Any idea, Josh? You know this?
I know this one.
Is it? No, I'm going to have to sit back for the top
Rihanna
song.
You know what
I
it is?
It's
either a Rihanna song, Umbrella, or Drake, Best I Ever Had.
No, it's not. It's Sean. You got a guess?
No, those were going to be my guess.
Okay,
Justin Bieber.
I honestly was going to go with the Rihanna.
It was according to Billboard, it was Low by Flo Rida featuring T-Pain.
That's another great song.
It is.
No, it's not.
Well, okay.
Y'all are a problem.
All right,
people like you are the problem. It's too much. You go
to the
bars.
Like apple bottom jeans.
Boots with the fur?
Boots with the fur.
Come on. Am I at my fifth grade
look,
dance?
Man, like, she's got the whole club looking at her. Room.
I think that's why I like it. It reminds me of
this elementary school.
Riding the bus in seventh grade.
That's how long it's
prime
been.
Time,
I had, obviously, no surprise here, not breaking news. I'm a little bit older than you guys. But I had that thought of like 2008. Oh, I was 20.
High school.
I was 24. But I wasn't even married yet. I got married in 2010. Wow. I wasn't even married when the last time the Longhorns made it to the Sweet 16. Yeah. Man, it has been a long time.
You were 24?
I was 24 when they last
old.
Yeah, I know. I know you're younger than me, Rue.
That just makes me feel old,
man.
Bro.
Yeah.
I hate when the young guys on the team do that to me.
I got Josh and Sean talking about my New Balance collection over here. I don't need you on me, too.
Our New Balance collection.
Okay, yeah, you got more New Balances than I do.
Our New Balance.
There we go. So yeah, it's just it's great to see them back in the Elite Eight, the Sweet 16. I think we figured out in the break it was a DJ Augustine joint the last time they made it.
Yeah, it was the DJ Augustine joint. Yeah,
I think that's the proper way to phrase that. So all right, we got a couple minutes here left in the break. Transitioning ever so smoothly into something else, kind of March Madness related. Josh, we got some audio here from Charles Barkley, who had an interesting take on hygiene.
Yeah, shout out to all the trainers also to have and the guys who do all the uniforms to get these uniforms cleaned up and everything. Cause, I mean, I'm so old. We used to take a shower in our uniforms because, you know, because we flew commercial my first few
years. Wait, time out. There's no era where you did that.
Yes, it is.
Not, you're making this up.
No, I'm not.
There's no way that you were supposed to wash your uniform with it on. You're making this up.
I'm not making this up.
Let him finish. No one in the right mind has ever done that.
Let him finish, Kenny.
Please
let him finish.
And soap, they give you soap.
Let him finish, Kenny.
When I first got to the NBA, we flew commercial.
Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
So when you played the night before and flew the next morning, when was you exactly going to get your uniform clean? You had to wash your uniform yourself. So after the game, when you got to your room, you took a shower in your uniform and dried it and dropped on the commercial airline the next day.
Who are you, with Jed Clampett?
No, please.
That's why you had to let him finish.
Come on. Have you ever heard of this in your life, Clark?
Well, how are y'all cleaning y'all uniform? Y'all playing in funky uniforms?
No, somebody.
Washing a dryer or someone else.
When you're flying the next morning.
You can clean your uniform without showering in it.
Well,
that is possible.
After
you can actually clean it without showering in it.
In it. You don't have to have it on.
But it's easier to do it that way.
I mean, the idea that a NBA player was in charge of washing his own uniform is wild to begin with. But, Rue, have you ever take a shower in your football uniform
to save
time to get it clean for the next game?
I have never seen or heard about that, like especially like at D1 level. You're a professional athlete, and you
so not have even to not even own. When you spent time in JUCO, you didn't have to wash your own uniform.
JUCO, I never did, but some people did. Like, you know, there's probably some JUCOs where people probably had to, but like still, like, JUCO is the trenches, like the slums. You are in that. NBA.
Charles Barkley played for National, the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah.
Basketball Association, and you over here not only flying commercial, you got to wash your own clothes, and you're washing it while you're taking a shower. How does that even work?
I love the take that he says that, like, makes it easier. How can you wash yourself through the uniform?
And he's washing it with, like, Irish Spring or whatever. Like,
I just know that thing smelled in the morning.
Oh, my God.
He really just told on himself.
What do you do, like, hang it up to air dry?
You're flying commercial. Where are you hanging it up at? Yeah, packed in a bag.
I think he basically said, like, he dropped it out in the hallway for someone to come pick it up.
They probably washed it in a washing machine.
Yeah, exactly. Barkley is obviously not is not the first time Barkley has put out a wild idea, but that was wild to me. The fact that washing your uniform while wearing it in the shower wasn't the wildest part of that clip was amazing, because the wildest part is that an NBA player would be responsible for washing his own uniform.
You think he's telling the truth?
I don't think. Why would he make that up?
No, I don't know. I think he might be stretching it or leaving out.
I think Barkley's just country. He just does things weird sometimes.
I think the reaction of Kenny Smith and Clark Kellogg, two guys who were also NBA, are equally as flummoxed by what he's doing. I think it might have been something Charles Barkley did. Yeah, I don't know if it was a thing NBA players did.
I would be willing to bet he was the only member of the 76ers that did that.
Dr. J was not taking
Moses
a shower
Malone
in his clothes.
Was not taking a shower.
I feel like he probably did this once or twice, and now he's trying to make it seem like he did it every single game. Like, no
41
shot.
41 nights a year.
No shot.
Like, There's no shot of that.
He's just nasty.
All right, so we got to get out of here. We got one more segment coming up before Sean and I stress watch Pittsburgh Xavier to see who the Texas Longhorns are going to face next. It looks like it's going to be Xavier.
I know, 37-24.
Currently up by 13 with 6 minutes to go in the first half. So coming up next, we've got our worst people in sports this week, the things we love from sports week, and we might have one more question related to hygiene and showers. It's the it's the bullpen with the producers here at ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Coming right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, 92.5, it's the bullpen with Sean Mapes, Brian McDonald, our man Rue. I'm taking the cheat code again, and Josh behind the glass. Josh, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't play Low by Flo Rida here. We just talked about it this last segment. I'm co-on, it's a classic. Sean and I loved it. You were junior high, I guess, when that came out, right?
Yeah, I was in seventh grade.
That song's definitely not cool anymore. So we ended the last segment talking about shower hygiene, because that's what you do here on ESPN 97.92.5. But surprisingly, that was not the only shower hygiene topic we have today. Sean, you had something else from Dan Orlovsky and Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah, earlier this week, Marlon Humphrey went on Twitter, which he does, and he's normally very funny on it. He said, "I want to be able to shower and then have a full body blower dry me off. Boom, no towel. How's no one created this yet?"
Facts.
You have it for the hands in some bathrooms. So, yeah.
I need the full body.
It's the logical next step. And then Dan Orlovsky came in and said, "You're weirder than me, man." And Marlon Humphrey said, "Does anyone really like towels, though?" And then Dan Orlovsky just did not answer that question. And he said, "Question is, how many times do you use a towel post-shower till you throw it in the laundry? I'm 30 times or so until it goes." He just did not answer the question, then brought up his own question, and then answered it in a way that made him seem like a psycho. He just completely told on himself for no reason.
So 30 times is definitely extreme. I want to come off
our numbers.
I want to take the side of pro full body blower. That sounds amazing. I don't think I have the money for that.
I think that's something Marlon Humphrey can afford.
That's what he thought about it, right?
That's definitely a rich person
thing. I'll buy this right now.
So I don't know if I will get to the point where I can afford to put that into the house. But, yeah, I'm definitely under 30, far under 30.
Oh, yeah?
Give yourself a number.
I would say I don't really count. It just kind of like sometimes if you pick up the towel the next day and you could tell like it's got to the point where it's not fully drying anymore just because it's so God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that's usually about 4 or 5 times. If it has starts to have like a smell to it, or if you could tell like it's not drying anymore because it's taking on that much liquid, I would guess I'm about 4 or 5 times before I put it in the wash.
Yeah.
Am I super gross? Am I out? I'm not 30.
No, anchoring the conversation at 30 is going to make us all look good. Yeah, that Dan Orlovsky, a man on TV, does 30. A married man.
A man who could afford the full body blower.
If he was like a college guy, a college kid, and he said 30, I'd be like, not great, dude, but still, I kind of get it.
Yeah, I get
it.
College. You're still eating ramen.
He has a wife and kids. Like, yeah.
So what's your
dude.
Number?
My number is probably around the same. It's about once a week.
All right, once a week.
Yeah. Once you pick up the towel and you're like, this is not. Yeah. I don't feel like it's getting me fresher.
Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but
Ruth.
For me, it really depends on where I'm at in my laundry. To be honest,
if you're just feeling lazy and you don't want to wash it.
I've already did laundry and I have all my towels like clean and dried. And like I'm probably gonna change my towel every day.
Really?
Man, you're fancy.
Maybe
you're fancy over
every your day. Mouth. Every day to maybe like every 2 days max. But like, yeah, think about it.
You're sweating so much more than we are on a daily basis.
When I get done working out, like practice or weights, like, you know, it's real.
Your towels are going through a workout because obviously you have to take a bath with your uniform still on. So it just
takes up against that jersey.
Yeah. And the towel's got to do more work. So that makes a lot of sense. So, all right, let's get into our worst people in sports this week. We're going to swim with the anger sharks here a little bit before we go into the show with some positivity. I'm going to start off with the Sacramento Kings. They had a game this last Monday against the Milwaukee Bucks in which they decided to be complete and total fake tough guys where the game was over. Giannis was dribbling out the clock, but apparently he dribbled out the clock in an offensive manner that started a shoving match. And with this first piece of audio, you'll hear De'Aaron Fox calling out Giannis.
Oh, I mean, Giannis can just dribble the ball out. That's all he had to do. Nothing would have happened, so.
De'Aaron, he was dribbling out the clock. That's the like his whole thing is like, oh, you're disrespecting me because you're not dribbling out the clock. He was dribbling out the clock.
I got to say something. I've been wanting to say this, and I'm glad I got the perfect opportunity to say this right now. For all y'all basketball players who get mad when y'all are losing and then the opposing team has somebody like try to shoot or do something with the ball, why are you mad? It's your fault for losing. That's you should have done everything in your power not to get to that point.
Yeah.
Like, don't be mad at somebody else. Maybe he's at 8 points and wants to get 10 points. Maybe he's at 28, wants to get, no matter what it is, like, you can't be mad at somebody else for playing the game. Like, it does not say in the game, oh, if you're winning by a certain amount of number, that now you have to dribble out. Now you can't.
And he was dribbling out. And that wasn't even that wasn't even the worst audio that we have on this. Mike Brown, the Kings head coach, I think had the even worse comment after the game.
100%. You know, I don't know what happened, but so we ain't taking no from nobody. Trust me on that. And they all going to have each other's back in there. That don't mean we're going to go out there and start something. We're not. But we're going to stand up for ourselves and each other.
You did start something, Mike. He starts off the clip saying we ain't taking bleep from nobody. Giannis was dribbling out the clock, and then he goes into, you know, we won't start nothing, but we'll defend yourself. Defend yourself from what? He was dribbling out the clock.
And if dribbling out the clock and doing it in front of Trey Lyles.
In an offensive way, Sean.
Yeah, if that's what crosses the line, hey, Sacramento Kings, you might be a little too thin-skinned.
I'm not going to lie.
I think we know what happened here. Giannis scored 48.
That's what
they're mad about.
Giannis scored 40 and Trey Lyles was the one guarding him.
Yeah, what happened.
Giannis is a better guy than me. If I'm at 48, I'm getting 50. You tripping.
Yeah.
Like, you get it.
You would have done crossover.
Bro, what? If I'm Giannis and they try to get in my face, all right, then all right, what it is? We're going to fight then. Like, you're not going to get in my face over me doing my job. Like,
exactly.
Like, that's actually, like you said, fake, tough guys.
It feels like a bunch of guys who haven't been there before because the Kings have been kind of like a feel-good story, like the NBA. They're in the playoff race this year. They've been a pretty good team, you know, after they got Sabonis in a trade. I guess it was last season, was it?
Yeah.
But they're a bunch of guys who haven't been there before and they don't know how to handle the slightest amount of stress because Giannis dared to cross over in front of them.
That's the problem with this generation.
You're part of this generation. What are you talking about?
But I'm different.
All right.
Okay. You sound like a 39-year-old man like me talking about it. Sean, who's your worst person in sports this
week? My worst person of the week is Ole Miss baseball for inventing a new position.
Designated hitter looking to get aboard. Sorry about that, folks.
Of course, Ole Miss with the designated Hitler position in baseball.
What?
Anyway, go Rebs, I guess.
Go Rebs? No. There's nothing go with Rebs.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. That is crazy. That we're letting that slide.
That is one of the more unfortunate slips I've ever heard.
But are we surprised? Like, is Ole Miss, Mississippi? Am I surprised that
no.
a school that like Hitler was on the mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like that, yeah.
Actually, you know what I'm saying? Wow, that's actually insane in 2023. Designated Hitler.
That's not a great look there for the Ole Miss. It's not only, you know, Mississippi have their own issue, but it's a school that still calls themselves the Rebs, and now we got this. So we got to quickly get into the things we love this week. Let's finish on some positivity. I'll say mine real quick, and we've already talked about it.
Yeah.
It's the Longhorns making the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2008, and then obviously Darren Baker hitting a grand slam off his old man's team the other day. We don't have audio of that, but that was a great moment. Apparently, Darren Baker buying dinner for Dusty after he hit a grand slam against the Astros. So, Sean, what's your best thing from sports?
My best thing, it's part of the Fairleigh Dickinson upset over Purdue. Purdue is ranked number one in effective height in college basketball. Fairleigh Dickinson, 363 out of 363. Literally David versus Goliath. That one is for the short kings out there. Today's your day.
Short
go Fairleigh Dickinson.
For Sean, for Jake Asman.
I feel like a short king on this set.
Yeah, especially
sitting next to Rube.
Yeah,
don't let me stand up.
Newsflash, they don't usually let 5'8 guys play right tackle for Big 12
gotta
teams.
Gotta be 6'6", 320.
Yeah. Probably not going to happen. So that'll wrap up things here for the bullpen. It's been a blast being here with you, Rue. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
For Sean Mapes, for our guy, Rue, for Josh behind the glass, this has been Brian McDonald. The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.